Hey everyone, James LaBrie from Dream Theater, and you're listening to or watching the podcast Talking Into Infinity with JT and Brian. Enjoy this. These guys are extremely informative. I love their dialogue. I love their interpretation of the songs, who and what we are, what we were going after. They're very accurate in their interpretations and descriptions, and I just think this is a great show, and these guys are doing a stand-up stellar job. So once again, enjoy Talking Into Infinity with JT and Brian.
What's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of Talking Into Infinity, a Dream Theater-centric podcast. I am your host, John. We are live on Facebook, YouTube, talkingintoinfinity.com, the CMSnetwork.com, and the CMS Network Rumble page. You can find us at those locations every other Thursday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you are watching on YouTube, please do not forget to click that like button, click that subscribe button, and smash that notification bell so that you are notified every time we go live. Without further ado, let me bring on my esteemed co-host, Mr. Brian Hendrickson. What's going on, man?
Hi.
No comments about the fact that I'm actually wearing a hat tonight?
No, your hair looks amazing. I was just about to say. So
that last episode was one for the books, man. That was funny as hell. I was getting killed, man.
I gotta admit, though, you were a good sport about it.
It's funny. I mean, why wouldn't I?
Well, until we got off the air, and you absolutely reamed me a new one and said you were good if I ever did that again. So
yeah, that's totally my MO, being sensitive. Man, so this is going to be a fun one, dude. I'm looking forward to this. I am kind of bummed out, though, because not to give anything away, but we'll talk about it when we get there. But I did some serious, like, visual prep work for this episode, only to find out that my computer's not powerful enough to do it in the middle of the show. And I was like, damn it. And so you saw it and you thought that I didn't actually do it, but I did. So
very, very impressive.
I'm very bummed out about that. I got to figure that out, man. So in any case, let's get to a few comments here. Chastity Crawley, amazing to see you. She says, I get to pay attention this time. I don't have any orders tomorrow, so I'm not baking today. Yeah. She was sending us pictures of some of the stuff that she made a couple days ago, and oh my god.
Oh, nice.
Looks amazing.
I have an idea for one. How about a dramatic turnover of events? Please.
Why don't you combine it? A dramatic turnover events.
Yes, there we go.
So you can shorten it there. So Ali's Studio, always good to see you. Says, what's up, JT and Brian? Ali's Studio here. DT16 is coming soon. Can't wait for until they reveal the details of DT16. Rock on. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that too, man. Obviously, you know, that's what we're here to talk about a little bit, is a recent reveal. So we'll get to that here in a second. Jeff Pizzoka and Kale McLeish says, sup guys, great to see you, man. As always, Kale. Jeff Pizzoka says, evening, y'all. Great to see you, Jeff. Thanks for tuning in. Yeah, so why don't we just jump right in here? Dream Theater have announced the first leg of their 40th anniversary tour / Mike Portnoy reunion tour. And it starts in October and it starts in Europe. So what were your initial thoughts when you saw that it was starting in Europe and not over here in the States?
Super mad and annoyed.
Why so?
I don't know, man. I just, you know, it's just such a huge thing, and it's not like they are based out of or anyone is from Europe, so I'm kind of, I don't know, I'm a little bit shocked by that, I guess, that they wouldn't start here, but maybe that's the whole point, is start over there, you know, kind of get the so-called kinks out and get the machine rolling again, and that way when they get over here, they'll just be able to blow us away.
Yeah. my thoughts on it are kind of twofold, good and bad. Number one, I was bummed out too, like you. Like I'm going to the first show back. So wherever it is, I'm going. And I was really looking forward to it being, you know, over here. And, you know, just saying, hey, I was at Mike Portnoy's first reunion show ever. and now I can't. So I was like, God damn it. So that part of it sucks. But seeing what time of year they're doing it is kind of awesome for me, because October, November are literally the busiest months of the year at work for me. So I would have been absolutely leaving my team in the lurch. They don't care, but I care. It's just how I am. And so for me, on a personal level, it's actually better that it's later. So like probably early 2025 or something, because you would assume, I mean, you know, they're going to take off December for the holidays and stuff like that. So, you know, that's, oh my God. So in that respect, it's cool. Especially, and even better if it doesn't start till like March or something, because then I get my bonus from work and then I can really justify spending some coin to go to this show. But you know, other than that, it was kind of like, yeah, I don't get to see the first show. And also now I got to go months without trying not to spoil the set for myself, because you know how I am. Like, I don't want to know.
Well, that's going to be hard. Yeah. I don't know how you're going to.
It was like, I mean, what was it like? Whatever the first leg of the View from the Top of the World tour was that we saw. I mean, I almost got through without any spoilers, but I did get one. And but it's not too bad.
I mean, I think, well, this is what we're going to be getting to pretty soon here, but I think we're going to have a 50% chance of getting half of the set right. Whether or not the order's right, I don't know. But I think we're going to be... You think that's high, or should I go lower? Should I go lower?
No, I don't think that's I would say about 50%. I mean, there's got to be some ones like, I mean, there's going to be like tentpole songs that they're going to do. You know what I mean? So you can expect that.
Well, full disclosure, and we're kind of doing this on the fly. I actually did made up a set that was 100 minutes with a 15-minute break and then another basically 90.
Okay.
Because this is an evening with, right? So we are talking north of 3 hours by the time you throw in. I'm sure there's going to be a small intermission in there.
Aren't the evening with usually like 3 hours to 3 hours and 15 with the intermission?
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I got it about 3 hours. So
okay, yeah, I'm doing mine on the fly. Like, I had a really cool idea for it that we'll get to in a minute here, but yeah, I'm gonna do mine on the fly because I had kind of a different thought process. So, a few comments here. Jeff Pizzoka says it looks like a VIP looks like it's in two parts, one with and one without a meet and greet. That's kind of interesting. Robert Reams. Man, long time no see, dude. Good to see you, brother. He says, maybe they are saving the U.S. tour for next summer so they can play outdoors. I don't know if they're going to wait that long. That seems like a long time to wait considering they're getting off the road at the end of November. That is, I mean, you're talking like them staying off the road for 6 months. With this kind of demand, I think they're going to, you know, strike while the iron's hot personally. So
I didn't even look at that whole schedule. This, what was posted is only going till the end of November.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's like 6 weeks or something like that. But Ziri, good to see you. Thanks for tuning in. Says, I'm expecting a heavy album with a lot of virtuosity and atmospheric moments personally. Hi guys. I could see it trending towards the heavier side of things with Portnoy being back. I mean, that's kind of his influence. So, Chastity Crawley says, if I can drive to it, basically continental U.S., I'm going. I have $900 already set aside for tickets. Yeah, I'm definitely going to try and figure out the whole presale thing like I usually do and just kind of blow it out. So, yeah, I'm
now, are you bothered? Personally, I don't care about the meet and greet anymore.
Yeah, well, we did it.
We did it, and it just, I don't know. It you also feel kind of awkward in a way, you know? Like, it's like, hey, the next person comes up, and everyone stands and smiles. And, like, I like the swag that you get from it. That part's cool.
Yeah.
But the actual taking the picture part, I don't know. I just feel goofy, you know? And I imagine if I feel weird, they must really feel weird.
Well, I mean, they're probably used to it. I mean, that's the way things go these days. It's added income, you know, in the absence of record sales. So, But yeah, I mean, I mean, like, I'm finding stuff to sell so I don't have to pull it out of our bank account, but I'm trying to raise 450 bucks to get the VIP for Wolfgang Van Halen in July. Just, you know, I've never met Wolfgang, and that one's really cool because that one, like you get to meet the band, you get the swag and you get an autograph and a picture, but you also get to watch soundcheck, and then he does a Q&A. So that, for me, for 225 bucks, that is beyond more than worth it, dude. So, yeah. But you know, I do those things once, you know what I mean?
Right.
And so that's kind of cool. But Kale McLeish says they won't stay off the road for 6 months. Asia and Australia second. So they come in our summer and chase it around. That's not a bad thought, Kale. That's really not a bad thought. And you know what, Kale? As much as I bust your balls for commenting on every Dream Theater tour release on social media with, when are you coming to Australia? You keep screwing us. I do hope you get a show. That would be pretty kick-ass. If I saw Australian dates that you could make, I would be thrilled for you, dude.
I don't want to know what's going to happen if Kale doesn't get a show because he's right. He's been waiting so long, and I'm not even trying to give him a hard time. Like, I legit feel bad. Like, okay, now Portnoy's back. We've been doing the show forever. It's been forever since they've been there. Like, come on, man. Just give Kale a show.
Right. Lee Walker says, I'm planning to go see them in Vegas as well as here in L.A. Ooh, you live in L.A.? Sorry to hear that. That's a difficult town, man. But then again, I'm a Midwesterner, so all the hustle and bustle and high prices are not my jam.
I thought they meant Louisiana, since that's the state.
We always, in the band, we always say, yeah, we're brother, believe me, from L.A., right. Lima area.
Oh. Nice.
So Chastity says, come on, Brian, meeting thousands of people night after night, not your jam?
Oh, I get it. Jam. Another baking reference. Okay.
There you go. Look at you. So yeah, I'm kind of surprised that it came out, you know, it's debuting in Europe. That was interesting to me. I'm wondering why that was the decision. And if we get one of the guys on for, you know, the album, I'm going to ask, like, what was the decision process behind, you know, starting out in Europe instead of the States? Like, you know, why aren't you starting out at like Radio City or something?
Well, probably it's because the stuff's already booked over here, maybe, you know. I mean, if you think about it, really, this is only 6 month lead time. That's unheard of anymore. Half this crap is booked out 1-2 years in advance.
Yeah.
You know, this really isn't a lot of lead time. So I'm guessing it was just whatever was accessible to be able to get a quick 6 weeks out there, you know.
Yeah. And one of the cool things to me as well, and I mean, this isn't a surprise, I suppose, so just this is redundant, but whatever. Like, I the tickets sold out so damn fast. And I mean, it's not, you know, we knew that was going to be the case, but it's just nice to see that, you know, what we hoped was going to be kind of like a rejuvenation in the fan base, you know, actually like has come to fruition. I thought that was really cool. So, you know, that's
What is the size of this first venue? I mean, it's not 10,000 or anything. It's probably what, 4 to 5.
Isn't it O2 Arena or something like that? I think, yeah, it's several thousand.
It's the full normal like theater that like we have here, like arena size.
Yeah, I want to let's see, O2 Arena capacity, 20,000.
I mean, they're not going to come here and play Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. I mean, even as much as I love Dream Theater, come on, man.
Could you imagine? Holy shit, man! Yeah, the O2 Arena. Holy crap. All right. How many Uber Eats Music Hall in Berlin is the second show?
I love that it's the Uber Eats Music Hall. That's amazing.
Look, what's that in German? Uber Essen Music Halle. Music Hall Berlin capacity. This is fascinating radio.
Yeah.
Let's see.
I could be looking it up too, but you know, it's so, capacity, so fun watching you do it.
2,250 seated and 4,350 standing.
Okay, now we're more talking. There is no way they are quote unquote playing that 20,000 and all those seats are over. I'm not buying that. Something's off there. They did not sell 20,000 seats to that. I'm not buying that.
And the next one is 4,000. Dude, I don't know. Portnoy's first show back. I
would love to be wrong. That just doesn't sound
well. But here's the thing: maybe it's like Madison Square Garden that has the theater like on an upper level or a different level, because that's where I saw them on the Train of Thought tour. And it was like, it's where they used to hold the NFL draft. So, you know, it's a couple thousand people. So maybe O2 has something like that. But I don't know, dude, for Portnoy's first show back in 14 years or whatever it is, like, that would not surprise me. That would not surprise me.
Okay, it wouldn't surprise you because it's in Europe, but it would surprise me if it happened here.
Dude, Madison Square Garden. Okay. I could see it.
I'll give you Madison Square Garden, but that's the only venue I'm going to give you.
Okay. Johan Alexanderson says, "Isn't that where Led Zeppelin played their reunion show in 2008?" Yes, it is. That is the exact venue. Yeah, that's, man. Oh man. That's good. By the way, did you see Jay's comment about playing Australia? He says, "Hey guys, I hope the DT guys are able to swim through the jelly or the box jellyfish, see snakes, and trek to Sydney without getting stung by a scorpion, funnel spider, or getting mugged by a magpie." How many more Australia references can you toss in there, man?
Yeah, that's why you never carry cash in Australia, because those magpies, they just come, they'll just take it right out of your wallet.
Nice. Oh, yeah. I mean, Jay's right. He says Dream Theater did do a 50,000 show in Chile.
Okay. Well, that's not, we know how those South American shows are.
Yeah. That's pretty crazy. Yeah. Ali Studio, I hope they release DT16 before they go on tour. That's a guarantee. They're going to release the record before going on tour. So, I mean, let's just, you know, speculate on that. I mean, I think now that they're going on tour in October, that would kind of tell us, like, you know, sometime between late August and early October for the album release, in that window, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, and I mean, I guess holding off the U.S. because I don't know if we're more apt to buy physical copies here yet or not. I'm still kind of confused on that when it comes to some of this kind of music, where who buys it, who actually buys the physical product more. But, you know, that would give them a lot more lead time to pump out some album sales.
Yeah. Well, I think this is a very unique situation where a lot of the normal rules do not apply. You know, people are, the fan base is so jacked up for this that, you know, they can do it any way they want. I mean, people are going to buy this thing like crazy. I would be very interested to see first day sales of this upcoming album compared to previous first day sales. You know what I mean? It'll be really interesting if we can find a way to compare that. So, but all right. So let's get to what we were going to talk about after discussing the tour. So first of all, I am very pissed off that my idea did not work. I love my computer, man. It's a workhorse, but apparently I need more power. Unfortunately.
Well, wait, hold on. Can you do your idea in the background, or is that still going to mess up everything else? Display it?
No, it's. Okay. It I think it was because it was animated. It was pulling too much power. But quick question from Ziri. Do you think the band will include instrumental passages from LTE like the old days?
No.
Yeah, I would have to agree with Brian on that one, Ziri. I think I agree with him. I don't think they will. I think this is going to be a focus on strictly their stuff. I mean, they might throw in a couple little trinkets here and there, but I would doubt if they even do that. I mean, there's been people online talking about, I hope they do an instrumentally part two. And I don't, you know, I think they're going to jam a little bit more. I think it's going to be a little bit more loose rather than the strict, you know, to the click, you know, video show thing that they have been doing. But I don't see them doing that this time around. But yeah, so Brian and I thought that we would try and guess the set list. So because of your earlier question, Brian, I'm going to say that our guesses should apply to the U.S. leg of the tour. Or are we just saying, you know, right off the rip, like O2 Arena? How do you want to do it?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I don't know how much they'll change it up. I'll say that if they started in the U.S. day one as opposed to over there, or the first show in the U.S., however you want to look at it, that's fine.
Okay. So we'll say first show. Okay. Alrighty. So my idea was, I found this awesome website. I can't say found. I was on a Van Halen podcast. It was a week and a half ago or something. And I was doing Van Halen trivia against five, six other super fans. And this stuff was hard. Like, I was shocked. The guy who put it together did a kick-ass job. And the show is called And the Podcast Will Rock. If you guys are looking for a really fun Van Halen podcast, each episode is dedicated to one song. And they had a bunch of their show regulars on there. There was actually a dude named Chaz who has a podcast called The Rush Rash. Super nice guy. So he was taking part. But this guy who put this stuff together was just sadistic. It was crazy. And I actually won the Van Halen portion of the trivia, which I'm very proud of because it was difficult. So my nerdiness knows no bounds. But in any case, so to choose the Van Halen song that these guys discuss each show, they found a website that makes like spinning wheels like the Wheel of Fortune, and you can customize it. So I did one for tonight that looked really effing cool. Like, I had the album covers on each of the little things, and I was going to spin the wheel, and whatever album came up, like, I was going to say, okay, are there going to be any songs from there? Well, yeah, my computer wasn't powerful enough to run. It really takes up a lot of RAM or whatever it is to run in the background. So no wheel. Yeah, maybe Brian, you can do it at some point, and we'll use the wheel in the future. But
do you want to like just randomly like pull up the albums here, or we can just randomly, instead of going like in order, you know what I mean, of the albums?
How do you want to do that?
Well, I got my Spotify up here. I could just like glance down and, you know, just kind of jump around or whatever, so I'm not going in order.
Look at this. GG3 trying to test me. What is the fifth song on Van Halen 3? Dirty Water Dog, dude. Okay. Kevin Cliche. I'd like to answer that question with, who cares? It's Van Halen 3. Oh, my God.
The fifth song. I don't even know the fifth song on, yeah, any albums. Let's put it that way.
Don't get me started. Jay, I'm telling you, that episode is out there, Jay. If you go to, and the podcast will rock, either the audio or the audio version, it's everywhere, or their YouTube channel. I think we bullshit for a good 20 to 30 minutes before the trivia starts. But if you fast forward to that part, I mean, these questions are ridiculous. So in any case, how do you want to do it? Because did you write your set list in order, or just write a collection of songs?
I actually did write it in order, but
holy shit,
I didn't spend a lot of time on it. All right, let's do it this way. I will just kind of scroll through here, and I'll just sort of randomly pick an album.
Okay, so
this is what you were going to do, right?
Well,
and then you're going to say what if we think a song will be off of there, and what songs?
Why don't we do this? Why don't we go from start to finish and call out the album? And then I'll say if I think there will be songs on there, and then you can do the same. And then if you have them, you can say what song. And then when we're done with it, you can give the set list you wrote in order. How about that?
Yeah. Otherwise, we're going to be jumping around and forget which ones we did. So.
Exactly. All right. So let's start out with When Dream and Day Unite. I really think that they're going to do one song from When Dream and Day Unite. Fortune and Lies is an obvious one. They've done Afterlife, obviously. I think the difficulty with that one is, you know, the vocals for James, because a lot of that stuff is pretty high up there. So, Jay has a very good point. Very good point. I could see them doing Afterlife because I think Charlie wrote that. Yeah. Yep.
Now,
one
quick thing before we start this.
I already did start it.
Well, before we actually get further in, we need to know that when I did this, I only took one spot where I said, okay, new single here. So we're going to need probably three of those. So I'm probably, when this is said and done, when I do this later, two of these songs probably would have to go. Because we're going to get, you know what I'm saying? We're probably going to get at minimum three, maybe even four of the new one. I don't think four. I think we're going to get three.
That was my exact guess too.
Three, okay.
three from DT16.
Yeah, so let's settle on three for that. Okay. All right. So back to Dreamin' Day Unite.
Yeah. Jay says apparently Dominici wrote lyrics for Status Seeker. I could see them playing that. I would get a Dream Theater boner and a half if they played Status Seeker, dude. I love that song. It's one of my favorite Dream Theater songs. There's just something about that melody that just has always grabbed me. So, all right. Kale says, Brian, I would say whatever is closing your main set two before the encore will have to go because it will be the new epic.
That's possible, but I don't. Well,
it's par for the course.
It also depends on. So let's say we don't even get a show. I'm just going to say, I'll kind of split the difference. We know it's probably not going to be 6, 7, 8 months. Let's say we don't get a show till March.
Okay.
A U.S. show till March, right? By then, they may be actually throwing in whatever the epic is. They might not start out playing that epic right away. Let's put it that way. Especially with Portnoy back, you do not know what's going to happen.
Yeah, isn't that the great unknown? I mean, it sounds stupid to phrase it like that, but I mean, with that guy, you just don't know. I mean, you really just don't know.
Because unless this new epic is already an epic, not to keep saying epic, yeah. I think it could be, I don't want to say a downer, but, you know, I think you're going to want to end on whatever the most hammering crap they've done with Portnoy is, you know.
Yeah.
But I understand what Kale's saying as well.
Yeah.
That was Kale that said that, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, the one, honestly, it wouldn't surprise me if we got two epics. And the reason is it's an evening with, and with all the instrumentation that goes on in there without vocals, like that, you know, really gives James a break. And they're going to have to get him through quite a bit of shows.
Hmm.
You know, and if it's, I mean, if they're doing evening with the whole damn time. So, Joe Gebhardt, good to see you, man. He says, do you think two albums in a row with an epic is too much? That's another good question.
What does that mean?
Basically saying you had a view from the top of the world, the title track, and then if they're going to do another big old 20-minute monster on this one too.
So are we saying definitely it's got to be 20? Like we're not counting like a 15-er?
Well, dude, when we did the epics before, we didn't include Nightmare to Remember. We kept it to like Count of Tuscany and Illumination Theory. And
that was 16 minutes.
Yeah.
Three-minute difference between that and Count of Tuscany.
I just, anything close, like when you're talking like basically 20 minutes and over, or at least almost, I think that qualifies. But
okay.
Jay, to answer your question for me personally, I'd be fine with it as long as it wasn't. The one thing I don't want is like a 7-song, 6-song record. Like if they're going to give me 10 songs and one of them is like an epic, okay, fine. Give me like the old school Dream Theater stuff where it was like 80 minutes or whatever, 78 minutes, and make it be like 9 songs. And, I'll, you know, one can be that crazy mofo. And then, but the rest would be a little bit normal. Kind of like if you took Distance Over Time, but threw like a 19, 20 minute epic on the end of it. That's basically what I'm looking for.
Kale, epic has become more of a vibe than a length. That's what she said.
You couldn't miss that one, could you?
No.
Look, Adam Rishog tuning in. He's got some scoop. He says, I heard the new album is 8 songs.
Yeah, I'm kind of, not that I know that he knows for sure he's right, but I would probably agree. It probably is shorter songs than you're going to.
Adam, you got to tell us where you heard that, if you're allowed to. Jay says, John, I'm going to give a very serious prediction. The new album is going to have 6 songs.
That's very serious.
Yeah. All right. Where do you stand on When Dreamin' Day Unite? I say 1 song. I love the idea, you know, that was mentioned in the chat that we talked about that song being Status Seeker. But okay. If I got Fortune and Lies or Afterlife or, you know, Only a Matter of Time or something, I'd be fine with that.
So, but don't say what you want. Say what you predict.
Like an actual song title?
Yeah.
Oh, God. I didn't even think that far. I think if they're going to, it's got to be like, I could see them doing Fortune and Lies.
Okay.
You know, kind of like maybe like, I don't know, second in the set or something early to kind of like, you know.
Yeah.
like kind of bang it out. But I love the status seeker idea. I would much prefer that.
Well, I'm gonna go with Johan Alexanderson here. Yahtzee Jam. I actually have both. I have Yahtzee Jam and Fortune in Lies back to back.
No shit. Wow. You pulled two off of One Dreaming Day Unite.
I did, and I definitely pulled the instrumental because you're going to see maybe a possible theme coming later here from Hendrickson.
Okay.
It has to do with exactly what you were saying about, trying to save the old vocal cords there.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So you've got two. I've got one. Okay. That's interesting. All right. So moving on to images and words, I think two songs. I could see Wait for Sleep because, again, it's like it's an easy moment for James, and it's a nice, cheap way to get one off of images of words that you never hear. It's a nice kind of mellow moment in the show. I wonder what the other would be. I mean, God. You know what? I could easily see three. I mean, I could see Pull Me Under, Metropolis, and Wait for Sleep.
Well, you got two of my three. I've got Pull Me Under, Metropolis. I threw in Take the Time.
All right. I could see that.
Yeah.
I could see that. I mean, I was going to say I could see Under a Glass Moon. Ollie's studio says the same. He agrees.
I mean, it's kind of a ridiculous exercise for this particular album because it's their most popular. It's one of the most popular, whatever you want to call it, prog metal albums of all time. So you're going to get, probably a minimum of three, no matter what they are.
Okay. All right. Adam explains, and this does make sense mathematically. He says, according to the Rolling Stone article, they wrote six songs at the time of the interview and wrapped writing a week after that. Wow. Eight songs. Okay. I was hoping for a couple more, but I'm not like pissed about it by any means. Of course, it's just like, I'm not going to be one of those. I wanted this, that, and the other, and they didn't get, no, fuck that. New Dream Theater is always good, man. Especially under these circumstances.
I mean, if there is only eight, that would lead me to believe that we might get only two. I don't know. Who knows?
No. Well, dude, I mean, View from the Top of the World only had what, like seven, and we still got four of those. We got over half the record. So
yeah, but this is a little different.
I don't know, man. Maybe that's why they're doing the evening with, because they have all, well, we got to play this, we got to play that. Like,
yeah, you're right. But we're gonna get a minimum of three. You're right.
Yeah. I also think it's a financial thing. They knew that they were gonna sell a shitload of tickets, so they're like, man, the hell with sharing this with an opener. We're gonna take all these profits, dude. We're gonna load the coffers. Very smart decision.
Oh yeah.
All right. So moving on to Awake. Oh my God. I'm going to say none, which breaks my heart.
Really?
Yeah. I'm gonna say none. I think that it's so vocally demanding in spots that, you know, for James to get it down into a register melodically where it sounds good, where he's comfortable, I think it'll be a little difficult to do. And for that reason, I think they're going to skip this album. So I'm going to say zero from Awake.
Well, kind of along your lines, I'm going to make it easy on him. I've got Erotomania.
Damn it.
And I've got The Silent Man.
Oh, God.
We could pull those out, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, man. If he can remember the words to Erotomania.
That's right.
I can't. See, I'm not even thinking in terms of the instrumentals. Son of a bitch. That's a good point. And you know what? They haven't played Erotomania in a while. That's a very good selection, Brian. I like that. I really like that.
Well, MP loves the instrumentals too. So,
yeah. Well, you imagine like all the whole place is black, and all of a sudden you hear this bang, bang, like the whole place is just gonna absolutely lose it, man. All right, so you have, and I love Silent Man, by the way. So that would be, holy crap, that would be awesome. So, I like your selections. All righty, moving on to Falling into Infinity. I think they're going to pull one off of here. And I would love if they would do two. Hell's Kitchen. It's my favorite Dream Theater instrumental. But I don't know which one they're going to do. What I would like to hear, I could see them doing Trail of Tears, because that's got some high stuff in there. But I think that one, you can drop the melody down into a more comfortable range for James, which, you know, he was doing on Dream Sonic. And there's a lot of open space in there, and there's a lot of lower vocal in it. So I think it takes up a lot of time. You know, it can be, you know, a little bit of a breather moment in spots. And I think in terms of the ambience of the show, I think it fits. And unless I'm wrong, I don't think they've done it since the self-titled tour. Obviously not the Astonishing. I know they didn't do it on Distance Over. Yeah, they haven't done it since the self-titled tour. So that would be really cool to see that one. So
Giovanni Pelea says it's the 30-year anniversary of Awake.
Oh,
so
yeah.
To go back real quick. So we probably got to get something from there, huh?
God, I keep forgetting about all this.
Maybe,
stuff.
I guess. I don't know.
By the way, Giovanni, good to see you, man. My fellow Italian. Yeah, Wake's 30th anniversary is here. No way Mike ignores that. That's a very, very good, very, very good thought there, man. Man, oh, man.
Well, I only had one. And, well, we're going to do my whole set later, I guess. But I've got Hollow Years.
I would take that. Now, but then again, it's my favorite record. I'd take anything off of that album. So
that may be more of a wish than a, but I can tell you more about why it's in there later.
Because it's awesome.
Well, that too, yeah.
Yeah, I would love that, and you know, obviously, you know, there's a lot of fan love for the version on Live at Budokan. That's hugely popular with the fan base. So yeah, that's a good selection, man. That's a good selection. I think Jay has an interesting idea. Hell's Kitchen, Lines in the Sand, finally perform it live the way it's supposed to be. That could be as well. I mean, they could Easter egg the shit out of this, you know, like, hey, this is how we originally wrote it type of stuff, you know, and I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, kind of bummed. I sort of forgot about Hell's Kitchen. I was really searching for something to put in there. Not that I don't like this album, I was just trying to figure out how it's going to work.
Yeah. Ali Studio says Burning My Soul. I think that's another one that's a little, that's going to be, there's so much aggression to some of those vocal parts that I think dropping it down might kind of, you know, into a more comfortable area for James, I think might take away some of the nuts to that. So I don't know if that's, you know, something that they're going, you know, so going to do. So, all right. So a difficult record for me is Scenes from a Memory. Fourth album. So, I mean, I would say two. We're going to get Dance of Eternity. I know it's just like low hanging fruit, but Dance of Eternity and Spirit Carries On. I think you can't, I mean, they're opening up the tour at O2 Arena. Let's say they are doing the 20,000 seater, right? Do you really think they're going to pass up the opportunity to play the biggest Dream Theater sing-along in history in front of like one of the biggest crowds I've ever played to with that energy in that room? There's no way. So, I mean, I think that one's a no-brainer. I'd be shocked if they don't play that one.
Well, you nailed my two.
Okay.
So yeah, right. I'm with you. I mean, and again, Dance of Eternity, people go crazy for that song anyway. James gets his break.
Yeah.
And like you said, it's a classic sing along with Spirit Carries On. So.
All right. So we each have two from Scenes from a Memory. Okay. Now we move on to 6 Degrees of Inner Turbulence. This one is difficult for me because, I mean, I really think they're going to hit on most of the records, especially the Portnoy ones. I left Awake out of there, but I forgot about Erotomania. So with 6 degrees, like, there's so many things to choose from. Like, the Glass Prison would be kick ass. Blind Faith would be a good one. I mean, honestly, I'd be happy with anything on the first side of the record, but I'm going to say they're going to do two, and it's going to be one from each side of the album. I'm just not sure. Oh, Adam Rishog. I think they do the 12-step suite here. As much as Repentance sucks gorilla farts. Oh, my God. That's awesome. Oh, Jeff Pizzoka. You know what? I'm going with your pick, man. Jeff Pizzoka says, I can see the great debate. Fuck yes, man.
I'd love for them to play that, but I don't see it happening.
I don't know. That one doesn't have a lot of, like, crazy vocal histrionics in it. JG3. The Great Debate is no debate. All right, so, yeah, The Great Debate. On the second side, that's tough, man. Because part of me wonders if they're not going to shy away from the obvious stuff, like, you know, Tests That Stump Them All and War Inside My Head, you know, like, and do stuff like, oh, God, I don't know. While I'm thinking of my second song, how many do you have?
Well, to go back to our draft, I've got them doing the whole damn second side.
What?
Why not? If this is the perfect time to do it, if you're going to, you know, be out there a total of 3 hours.
Oh, my God. Okay.
So it's 42 minutes, basically, total.
Wow.
Which, you know, I don't know. If they played three medium epics, that's less time than that even, right? So.
Wow.
Now, well, if I had to go to Vegas and bet on this, I would give it, like, probably a 25% shot. So maybe I'm being unrealistic. But I don't see why not. I mean, again, it's an evening with. I'm expecting north of 3 hours if you include the intermission.
See, I was going to go with Solitary Shell. But this is interesting. So let's pose this question to the chat then. People in the chat, you're going to the show. If you have a three-hour concert and 42 minutes of it is taken up by one thing, like the entire second disc of 6 degrees, are you going to be pissed or are you going to be into it? Man,
so they didn't play the entire thing, JG3, what he's saying there. I, at least the show we went to, and when they did that summer one that I missed, it they didn't play the whole thing then either, did they?
No.
Okay.
No. Mike L, good to see you, man. He says Solitary Shell is my favorite DT song. Not a bad selection. That's a damn good tune, man. 6 degrees is so effing good. It's one of those records that's so damn good, but it doesn't get talked about a lot. There's not a lot of conversation. Adam Rishog says, unless it's with the live orchestra, I don't want it. Chastity Crawley says, I love 6 degrees. God, I don't know. How would you feel, Brian? It's weird. I feel like that's kind of like one of those one-off things they might do.
Yeah, they won't do it every night, but you're saying since Portnoy is going to be mixing it up, maybe people be like, yeah, holy crap, they played the whole thing last night, but you know, you guys aren't going to get it next show.
Exactly. I mean,
yeah, I'll buy that.
I don't know how I would feel, honestly. Like, I love it, but it's like, you know, with Portnoy's first tour back, if they're going to take up literally 25% of the show on one piece, I'd be kind of like, man, there's other stuff. I'd like to hear some of it. You know, I do kind of want him to touch on each of the records. You know, I mean, because it is the 40th anniversary tour, so you can't really skip over much. So, All right, so you have them playing the entire second side. Amazing. Okay. All right. Train of thought. This is a record I think that they would skip. Now, if they're going to play something off of this record, let's see. I'm going to go with Honor Thy Father. I think this might be a spot for a wonky choice. I think they might kind of pull out one of the oddballs. So I'm going to say one song. I'm going to say Honor Thy Father. Do you have anything from Train of Thought?
I do. I got the first song, As I Am.
Do you think that one's been done a little much, though, for them at this point?
I don't know. Were they playing it a lot with Mangini?
I mean, they played it on a couple tours. I know that. And
They didn't play it the last one we saw, did they?
I thought so. I know I've seen it live a bunch of times with. Yeah. So I'm wondering if that one might be, you know, for the band, a little bit played out. Like, okay, we've done this one a bunch. Let's change.
The only reason I had it on here is it's kind of more sort of, I don't want to say accessible, but, you know, a little more melodic and stuff in the way that it grooves and the way it fits into my sets. So I might have been overthinking it.
That makes sense, though, because I mean you do need those moments where you pull out something that is a little more accessible, like Rite of Passage or, you know, Forsaken or something simple, just kind of, you know, it's like, you know, cleanse the palate a little bit of all the prog craziness. So
if I were to bet on me being wrong on this, also I would say that would be one of the ones I probably would take out, because I'm going to need another song from the new album. I need two more.
Okay.
So that one probably has to go. So, yeah, I would say the chances of this album being ignored are greater than any other album, I would say. Well, other than one.
Okay. Robert Reams says, Endless Sacrifice is a great song live and a long instrumental part. Easy on James. Yeah, I mean, that is, man, we're getting a lot of love for Honor Thy Father in the chat. It looks like I actually...
So which one did they play at the Goodyear show? Was it Honor Thy Father or Endless Sacrifice? They played one of them.
I was Endless Sacrifice.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah, I think Honor Thy Father is like so Portnoy.
Oh, well,
you know,
yeah,
with the drums, and then obviously him talking about his dickhead stepfather or whatever.
Yeah, that's right.
Like, so I think that was just one of those ones where they're kind of like, you know, let's just leave it at that. So
sure.
But yeah, I'm with you. Like, see, in thinking about, I didn't think about the 40th anniversary part until, you know, a few minutes ago. So now I'm like, damn it, are they going to skip anything? Are they going to try to do something off every record? Like, oh my God. Yeah.
Just
but
don't,
if they're gonna...
don't do medleys. Don't do medleys of your own song. I have, as I've told you before, I have thoughts on that. I do not like that.
Yeah, Anthrax did that at a show I saw him at one time, and I was like, God damn it. Like, don't be chopping up Anthrax tunes. Like, just, you know, only way I'll accept that in an Anthrax show is if they cut out Caught in a Mosh and, you know, I Am the Law. Like, I'm done with that. Like, I love Anthrax, and those are phenomenal songs, but it's like when you hear them every effing time, like, do a boy.
Yeah.
It's a piss break. But, Giovanni Pelaya says, should we not get something from the Majesty demos? Or should we not get something from the Majesty demos? That's where they started, and we did get another one at Score. I nominate A Vision.
Yeah, they're not going to be doing all that. I can guarantee it.
Yeah, I think this is they're not going to get too wonky. But again, Portnoy's a wild card, man. He might get wonky and just go, look, man, our fans are diehard enough that we can just pull nothing but you know, deep tracks. So I that would not surprise me. All right. So moving on to Octavarium. I am going to say that they are going to play one song off of Octavarium. And if they are going to be playing an epic or two, I'm calling the title track Octavarium. Adam Rishaw completely agrees. He says, Octavarium comes back into the live set, guaranteed. Ali Studio says, Root of All Evil. That is a Joe Gebhardt. I would love this one. Joe Gebhardt says these walls. That is. Again, I'm gonna. Never mind. I have comments on these walls that I will save. Man, everyone's all over this record. Jeff Pizzoka says Panic Attack. Portnoy killed it on Drumeo recently.
Yeah, there's no way in the world we're not getting Panic Attack. We might get two songs from here, but I just cannot. I know Portnoy absolutely loves that song. I would be stunned if we do not get Panic Attack.
Is that the only song you have?
That's the only one. That's the only one I put down. Yeah.
So I want to pose a question to you that Jeff Pizzoka. By the way, Jeff, if I'm mispronouncing your last name, please let me know in the chat so I can stop screwing it up. I'm very anal about trying to get people's names right. Do you think that the Drumeo videos are a precursor to what we're going to get in the set? Do you think he's purposely making videos of songs that we are going to see live? Because, I mean, now that Jeff mentioned it, I was like, you know, that is a total Portnoy move to do something like that.
Well, and it's also a way for him to sort of refamiliarize, you know, it's like capitalize on practicing, you know what I mean? Right. Like, I gotta learn these again anyway, and then now... I don't know.
He's using Drumeo as rehearsal.
Well, I mean, I'm sort of half joking, you know. I mean, he might as well show what he's been up to, you know, and in terms of he's got to get his, I don't say his chops back, but I'm sure he doesn't sit around playing Dream Theater songs, you know, ever since he left, you know.
Yeah, that's funny. He's like, oh, he's looking at the potential set list. Like, let me do these for Drumeo. That's hilarious. Okay, so you have one and I have one. For Octavarium, we now get to Systematic Chaos. It's really hard to ignore Dark Eternal Night, even though that's a recent selection for them. But it's an album I could see them ignoring, honestly. Damn. I'm going to say they skip this one.
I don't think they do, because I think Portnoy really has, how do I put this? Maybe more of a thing for this album than a lot of the other people in the band might. So I think he's going to insist.
Okay.
What do you have? I have two. I do have Dark Eternal Night. And I've got In the Presence of Enemies, Part 1.
That'd be badass. The chat is basically going all in on Constant Motion. Adam says, I don't want it, but Constant Motion gets played here. Portnoy shines in that song. JG3 agrees. He says, they are definitely playing Constant Motion.
I was torn between that and... I don't know how much we're fooling ourselves because we want Dark Eternal Night. We had this whole discussion last episode. I still have it as the opening song. I won't give away the rest, but...
You have them opening with Dark Eternal Night?
Yeah, why not? He gets to go full metal Portnoy from the get-go. Why the hell not?
Oh, my God. Well, because they already did that a couple tours ago.
Who cares? Portnoy's back.
Could you hear the fanboys now? He's totally ripping off Mangini.
do you think that Portnoy knows they did that a couple? He doesn't freaking care what the hell they did last time.
I think that is complete and total shit. If you're in a band for that long, a band that you started, do you really think he was paying zero attention to anything Dream Theater? I don't buy that for a second. I really don't. I mean, it may be painful, but it's human nature. I mean, come on.
I'll put it this way. Maybe it wasn't zero, but I don't think he was paying as much attention as you might think.
Well,
I could be totally wrong, but
I'm saying he didn't pay zero attention.
Right.
So, yeah. Okay, I like your selections, man. I like your selections. Okay. Jeff Pizzoka. Repentance. Oh God. Could you imagine? What if I got like all of my favorites like Trail of Tears and all sorts of crazy awesome songs I love like that, and then Repentance gets played live. I mean, they did it with Space Dive Vest on the self-titled tour. Maybe they'll bust out some Repentance. So
I mean, I've got like 20 plus songs on here. It would be hilarious if it was like I'm only right on like two of them.
Right.
I mean, he would have to go so left field. We're gonna miss that many.
Well, I mean, thankfully, I mean, we're obviously going to get some, you know, classic bangers, but it's Portnoy. Like, he always throws in those, like, you know, the ones where you look at your buddy at the show and go, oh, what the hell? Like, he always has at least a few of those every show. You know what I mean? So, but, all right. So after Systematic Chaos, we have our last taste of Portnoy, the last taste that we would get for 15 years. And it is Black Clouds and Silver Linings. I have one on this one, and I honestly wouldn't be surprised if it's not the Best of Times, something they never played live. It's kind of one of those fan favorites that a lot of the fan base loves. And I think this is where they might pull one of the curveballs, you know, doing that and, you know, kind of as a tribute to his dad and whatnot. I mean, that's the thing. Like, you know, this show very well could be a, you know, Portnoy spotlight. You know, like the songs that he shined on, or the songs that are the most personal to him. Like, you know, kind of like give him all the feels. You know, coming back and, so yeah, I'll go with the Best of Times. I could see that one. What about you? Anything from Black Clouds?
I've got one, probably the one you all thinking, and I think Ali's studio pulled it up, Nightmare to Remember.
Yep, Ali's got that one.
Which, maybe the more you're definitely talking me into Best of Times, I think Nightmare to Remember is more a want than reality. I don't mind the idea of Wither either, because I have a...
I don't either.
In terms of, I think it's realistic also, because you got to mellow out some areas, and I have a little mellow area set aside, so I could see Wither fitting in there.
Yeah, Robert Reams brought that one up. He says Wither. Yeah, I could see that. Jeff Pazoka with a good point. He says, you know, in regards to Best of Times, he says, considering it was Howard Portnoy who suggested the name Dream Theater to Mike, name of a movie theater in California. Yeah, that's a very good... That is a very good point.
Well, anytime you can do a Styx cover, I'm on board. I mean,
yeah, jeez, seriously, that almost took you that long. I almost missed it, dude. I almost missed it.
You're wishing now you had.
Nice. All right. So we are now into the Mangini era, which is a very interesting topic. So I am of the belief that they are going to do Mangini stuff.
Well, you have to. Like I think was even the interview Portnoy has. Like, you know, I don't know if we could just ignore the last, you know, 14 years.
Yeah.
Like they never happened. I mean, come on.
I'm so glad he's got that outlook too. Because as much as I love Sammy Hagar and Van Halen, I mean, it was a little bit of a bummer on the 5150 tour. Not that I saw it, but like that he basically was like, you know, screw the Roth stuff. I'm not playing in a cover band. It's like, well, come on, dude. Like, there are two diamond albums in that catalog. Like, you can't just piss on that. I mean, like, there's some great stuff in there, dude. So, I'm going with the low hanging fruit selection here. I don't think Portnoy is going to pull like crazy deep tracks off of the Mangini stuff. So I'm pulling one of our favorites out of here, man. I'm going Breaking All Illusions. I mean, that one is just so goddamn popular, and you know, I think it would be a perfect way for Portnoy to show respect to the Mangini era by pulling out like can we say that the Breaking All Illusions might be the most popular Mangini era song that they did on the five albums?
Oh man, yeah, probably. I mean, among fans in general. I mean, I was the Our New World like a like kind of a single-ish.
Yeah, I mean, it was like a single-ish thing. I mean, but yeah, I just I don't think I hear any songs from the Mangini era.
Yeah,
talked about nearly as much as Breaking.
No, I as much as I would love to sit here and go, God, I'd love to hear seven other songs from, you know, five other songs from an album. I know it's not going to happen, and I think it would be a disservice not to play Breaking All Illusions. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I would kind of agree. Adam Rishog with a very good point. He says, let's face it, we all love Portnoy, but there's too many good tunes on the five Mangini albums. It would be ridiculous to leave these songs out. Plus, much like Mangini did, hearing the Portnoy flair on those songs would be awesome. Yeah, I completely agree with that. Yeah, that's just that one's almost one of those must-haves, I think. You know, even though they played it a lot during the Mangini years, I think having that in here for a 40th anniversary tour and kind of like a nod to Mangini, I think is a must. So,
I mean, the only other one I could think of would be Bridges in the Sky, but they've been playing the crap out of that. So,
yeah, that's true.
You know, I'd love to hear it again, but I don't. Yeah, let's go Breaking All Illusions.
Okay. All right, moving on to the self-titled record. Here, if they were skipping records, this is one I could see them skipping. But if they do play one, this is an obvious choice for me. I would say The Looking Glass. I think that's the strong point of the record. I think my feelings on Illumination Theory are clear. Your feelings on this matter are clear, Lord Vida. Yes. Yeah, so I'm with the self-titled record, I'm saying if they pull one out, it's going to be The Looking Glass.
Yeah, I actually don't have one on here, but if I was to guess, I would go with that one as well.
Yeah, like I say, if they are going to skip records, I think this is an obvious skip. But if they're going to try and hit something off of every record, then I think that one kind of makes, you know, sense. The chat is bringing up The Enemy Inside. Yeah, I mean, that was the single. So that would make sense to me. I just think The Looking Glass is the strongest song on the record, and I think it's kind of an upbeat moment and kind of Rush-ish. And Jeff Pazoka, that's another good choice. He says, although Along for the Ride would be good. Yeah, you're not wrong. I'd be into that.
That's kind of Portnoy-ish because it has that Beatles-y thing in there that he loves, but I don't know. I don't see
it. Yeah, it does.
I don't see that one as much as I'd love it.
All righty. Moving on to The Astonishing. Speaking of records they will definitely avoid if they are avoiding albums. But, I mean, this is, you know, kind of obvious. If they're doing one off of this one, it's got to be Our New World. That just makes too much sense. You know, a short little, you know, Status Seeker-esque banger. You know, kind of, you know, say, hey, what's up to that record real fast and move on. So, I think that's a little obvious. Do you have anything from this record?
Yeah, I put the same one in there.
Okay,
but now that I'm, I think you actually talked me out of even having any on there.
Yeah, I mean,
I still gotta get those other two singles in, so that probably would be one of the ones that goes.
Yeah, I think, you know, again, if they're gonna hit every record, that's going to be the one. But I think if that's not the whole point of the tour, then there's no way they're going to be doing that. So there'll be nothing from this one. So that one was just too easy.
Yeah.
All righty. Unfortunately, we have two albums left. Mike Mangini's time with the band, his end grows nigh. So, yeah, Distance Over Time. I hope they hit something on this record. My personal pick, no one's going to be surprised by this. Go ahead and say it with me, Out of Reach. but I, you know, if they're going to do the obvious shit, it's obviously going to be either Fall Into the Light or Untethered Angel.
Really?
Yeah, but
you're missing an obvious one, I think.
No.
No?
But I know where you're going, and I'm trying to think if they... Yeah, you know what?
Well, just bring up Adam's comment. That's where I'm going.
No, I mean, I would say Barstool. Yeah, I mean...
Okay.
Got to be Barstool Warrior. Honestly, I really wouldn't be, I would not be surprised if they did two. Jeff Pazoka, you know, on the same wavelength, Barstool Warrior and Out of Reach. I just think Out of Reach for me, I wish it got played more, man. It's like, it's just such a beautiful melody. I mean, it's goddamn.
Well, we've talked before, and Untethered Angel, we don't think is a good representation of the rest of the album. It's not bad, but the album, I think, gets so much stronger as it goes on. And I don't know if Portnoy would love that song, personally.
Yeah, so, is
I don't know. I would be super annoyed, and I think to be really let down if they just totally ignore this album. Like that just would be lame to me. Like I think it deserves a minimum of two. You know, it's not gonna get three, but I think it deserves two.
I agree. I think this record is criminally underrated. I love Distance Over Time. I mean, this one has a lot of re-listenability. It's not a real word, but I just created it right here on Talking Into Infinity. I mean, this record was so damn strong. I mean, to me, there wasn't a weak point on it. So, yeah, I would love to hear two, and it would definitely be Barstool and Out of Reach. So I'm throwing my hat in the ring for two on this one. I think they're going to throw us. That will be the Portnoy curveball. They're going to play two from this record, and Out of Reach will be one of them. So
wow. I wouldn't put money on that bet, but
I know. But I mean, I think you're 100% right about Out of Reach kind of being like a stretch for Portnoy. But so yeah, see, Chastity's got my back. All words were originally quote unquote made up. So boom, new word. There it is. Webster's, put it in. Re-listenability. So all righty. We get to the final record before all hell broke loose and Mike Portnoy returned to the band. We have A View from the Top of the World. I think this is an obvious choice on both ends of the spectrum. If they are going to be avoiding certain records, I think this is one that gets dropped. If they are going with a song from every record, there is no way in hell they can do anything but The Alien. So I think that's really simple for me. What about you?
I would agree, except wasn't James on record saying he really, really doesn't want to do that song?
What, The Alien?
Yeah. I saw that somewhere.
I didn't see that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so what would your choice be? Do you have anything from this record?
Well, you're making me talking myself out of it now again. I don't know. The Alien seemed a little too... So I picked Awaken the Master.
Really, the 8-string song?
Yeah, because of the fact that it is the 8-string song. You know what I mean? It's Alley wow. Studio. Answering the Call was actually I had actually written that down, and then I changed it to Awaken the Master. But I don't know. I might go back to Answering the Call now.
Yeah, I'm going with Jeff Pazoka and Cale MacLeish. They're saying Transcending Time.
Well, I'm actually going to go with your original. The more I think about this, why would he want to play something that was literally on the last? And Mangini really had a lot of kind of a little bit more input on this album, and he just, you know, yeah. He had that weird way that he played all this. You know, he really tried to purposely make stuff crazy, and they might totally just not even play anything off this.
Yeah. By the way, Johan Alexanderson has an awesome comment. I'm glad I'm not the only one that noticed this. He says, they'll play the new 8-string song too. So I saw that picture too, and I was like, oh, he's got the 8-string busted out again. Okay. So, Johan, I didn't see a lot of people commenting about that. I really thought that like the guitar nerds would go bonkers for that, but I didn't see a lot of people commenting on it. So, yeah, I don't know. Awaken the Master is like, it's a gimmick song. It's like, hey, check this out. I got an 8-string. But other than that, nothing really stands out to me on that one. So, like, I mean, I don't think is, if they're going to play one, I don't think that's it. So,
I mean, if I personally was picking, I would pick Transcending Time, but I don't know. I'm going to go back with what you said originally. I mean, I think they just don't even mess with this because they just got done touring on it for what, 2 years or whatever.
Yeah, a year and a half, whatever the hell it was.
Yeah, Mangini's no longer in the Mangini's no longer in the band, and it's a new. So I don't know.
I think I pissed off JG3. He says maybe they'll play "Awaken the Master." Whoa, John! "Awaken the Master" is a banger. Well, sorry, Jay. I mean, it's cool. I mean, I don't dislike the song. I mean, it's cool. I like it, but it there's to me there's not much I remember besides the super heavy 8-string stuff. So. You know, and Kale agrees with you, and I agree with both you guys. You know, he says, yeah, that's entirely fair. This would be one of the most passable albums. So, yeah, I mean, Jeff, that's what I'm thinking, too. Jeff Pazoka says, but what they did with the 20th anniversary show, they played one song from every album, so I can see them doing the same thing with this one. Yeah, I completely agree with that. And especially, and honestly, I would not be surprised if that's not the reason why they did An Evening With, because they're kind of like, we got to hit every damn record. We got to play, you know, 3 or 4 off of the new record. And then we got to hit, you know, 15 other albums worth of stuff. So, you know, it would be a really interesting exercise to see if we nailed that is to take every Dream Theater song in the first 15 records and average it out time wise. And then multiply that average by 15 and see how much time that would take. And then add like 3 more from the new record at that and see if it actually equates out to a show that would be the length of An Evening With. That'd be funny. That would be nerdy. That would be the nerdiest thing we have ever, ever done. So.
Yeah, let's not. I don't know. That doesn't sound as interesting to me as you might think it is.
I'm not saying we do it. I'm just saying that'd be a hilarious exercise.
No, I get what you're coming, where it come from. It actually kind of would be interesting to see how it played out. I wouldn't want to actually have to dive in and do all that, but
yeah. All right, so now is your turn to shine. Give us your set list in order, and you said you didn't work on it too hard, so
yeah, that's how I live my life, you know. All right, I'll give you the. This is a set one, so I know I'm going to get destroyed for this. So I had Dark Eternal Night.
Okay.
Take the Time. I figure right away, let's hit the classic.
Wow.
You know,
okay.
Yeah, right away, come out the gate.
I like that.
Erotomania. Then whatever the new single is.
All right, I could see that too.
Okay, and I don't, you know, this new single may go over like Gangbusters, and maybe like, eh. So I've got Panic Attack just in case.
Nice.
And then we're going to mellow out. We'll do Silent Man and Hollow Years back to back.
Wow. Okay.
Then I have As I Am and Nightmare. And I think as I talked, we're probably going to have to get rid of at least one of those to get probably another new song in.
See, if we're getting rid of one of those, it would be As I Am, unless the consideration is length, and then it has to be Nightmare.
Okay. Yeah, I'm cool with whatever, obviously. Then I'm going to go into, we're going to kind of keep putting these little breaks in. So we got Dance of Eternity, Barstool Warrior, and we will end set one with Breaking All Illusions.
So you only have one new song in the first set.
Well, no. Originally, yeah, but then I said we're going to have to kick those two. So
that
would be two. That would be two, yeah.
I was going to say, because I think the second set's going to be the nostalgia set person. I think that's going to be like the holy shit moments. But
yeah, so I had two there. If we take both those songs out, then that'll put us three in there. And that actually times out at 100 minutes, believe it or not.
Wow, okay.
It doesn't sound like it, right? But it is.
Yeah, right.
Okay, so 15. I got a 15-minute break. Then I said we're going to do side two of 6 Degrees.
Jesus.
Which, you know, now I'm thinking is probably no way.
So, God bless.
Our New World, which you've talked me out of that one too. You talked me out of like these last three.
Don't listen to me, man. I don't know my ass from home or ground.
I don't know. So I have I had Our New World because we just got, you know, we just did 42 minutes. We need something upbeat and catchy, and they know. But then I got us going into Awaken the Master, and Metropolis. Then I got the nostalgia throwback, ETC Jam, Fortune and Lies, back to back.
Late in the set, nice.
Yeah, and then I've got Presence of Enemies, Spirit Carries On, and we will just end with the song that they wouldn't even exist without, even though people might not want to hear it. Pull Me Under.
I think that's a beautiful choice. What's the encore?
I don't really. I mean, I guess you could say you could like move something out because that's over. Again, we're over 100 minutes there, so that's like we're well over three.
Yeah,
we're like
320.
Yeah, it's 200 minutes.
Wait,
there.
What if the show closer is Spirit Carries On and then Pull Me Under is the encore?
Yeah, yeah, you could bunch it up like that, something like that. So
that would be a good question for the chat, especially people like Adam Rishog. But so if you guys got Pull Me Under as an encore, would you be for it or would you be pissed? Because we've actually had a lot of people that is saying they're just completely tired of that tune. But in this context, with Portnoy being back, I think it's appropriate. So I completely look at there he is on cue. Adam Rishog, I would leave.
I mean, they are playing that song. I just cannot see them not playing it. I don't know.
Adam Rishog's like, I'm beating traffic. Sweet. He hears bam, bam, bam. He's like, sweet, I'm getting the hell out of here. No one's gonna get in my way.
Oh, you're up in Canada. There's no traffic. You just gotta ice skate home and stuff.
It's easier to avoid the moose right on the road. Ali Studios all for it. Johan Alexanderson says he would prefer something else but would be cool with it. Yeah, I wouldn't mind it. I mean, I never really mind hearing that song. There's just something so I don't know, man. It's like I could see why everybody says, okay, like enough. Like, you know, when I would go to Van Halen shows and I'd hear, you know, Ain't Talking About Love or, you know, Running with the Devil or, you know, You Really Got Me, I'm like, ah, geez. Like, you know, can we?
Yeah, but it's not Pour Some Sugar on Me. I mean, come on. You know what I mean?
I know. But no, it's like if it's your favorite band and there's certain songs that just they will not leave alone. You're like, God bless it. Like, so I get it. But for some reason, like, I don't know. Pull Me Under just has, there's something about it that just reminds me of discovering the band. It like, as my brother likes to say on the Nerf Herder concerts, like a hit, you know, our jokes are on like, you know, it, the member berries, it, you know, it gives you the member berries and like, you know, and it does like every time I hear that even just boom, boom, boom. I'm like 16 years old again, man.
It's such a tension, sonic tension. And it turns into the heavy, heavy riffing there. You know what I mean? I mean, it's just like, it just builds and builds and builds. And you're like, I don't know. I can't bail on this song. I gotta listen to it, you know?
Yeah. So Ziri says the opening or maybe even the second song of the live show will be new songs for sure. See, Ziri, this is, again, with Portnoy, I could see it going either way. Like, is the focus going to be more on the nostalgia or is it going to be, you know, to start out the show, or is it going to be more on the new material? Because I, you know, from a setlist perspective, I could easily see like do the first two songs off the new record, and then all of a sudden, okay, here comes all the old shit, you know, and then sprinkle one or, you know, the other two. Because I think they're doing three or four. I think I said three, so sprinkle another new one in the second set, something or other. Or
well, there better be plenty of lead time to get those songs out, and you know what I mean, and people be reasonably familiar with them if you're going to open with them, because that's, you know what I mean, that takes a lot of
yeah,
I don't know.
No, I agree. Dude, Johan Alexanderson asks the actually important question. This is more important than any question we've asked all night. Will Petrucci dye his beard for the tour, or is he going full Gandalf now? And Chastity's right. Is it Mike Portnoy and John Petrucci made a joke about that. They might keep the white. So he was Petrucci the black. Now he's going to be Petrucci the white.
Petrucci's like getting on Billy. He's starting to get into Billy Gibbons territory with that thing, man.
Well,
he's serious.
Well, he teased some new thing, some new product that he's got coming out. I don't know if it's a cologne or it looked like another beard thing, but like, it's so funny, man. Oh my god. Yeah, by the way, JG3, I agree with you. He says, I think the show opening could be Pull Me Under. That would not surprise me in the least. Just start immediately where it all began for him. that wouldn't shock me at all.
I have thought of that. I think it's kind of blowing your wad a little too early. But they have so much other killer stuff, so I don't know, man.
Yeah, it makes too much sense, doesn't it? I mean, can't you get this crazy intro going, and then all of a sudden, you know, everything's dark, and you're boom, boom.
Oh, yeah.
Adam, I mean, good Lord.
People are going to go, they'll lose their minds, I mean.
Look at Adam. He says, that'd be great. Get it over with while I grab my beers. He gets Portnoy back after 15 years, and he's not going to be there for the first downstroke of music. He's going to be in line getting suds.
And some Canadian bacon or, you know, ham, as we call it.
I found a mouse in one of your beers. How about that reference? A little bit. Holy shit, man. Well, that was fun, dude. That was a lot of fun. I like a lot of your choices. I guess the interesting part about all this is that, you know, because Portnoy, you know, I mean, to be fair, during the Mangini era, they did pull out some selections where you're like, whoa, really? They're doing that? Like, which is cool. But Portnoy is just, you never have any idea what you're going to get with that guy. I mean, he could have like five rotating set lists for all we know. So it's like no one is ever sure what the hell they're going to play.
I know one we're not getting, and just because we were so lucky to get it, the last couple was Count of Tuscany, unfortunately. I don't see that happening.
Yeah, and sadly, that's one I could totally see Portnoy playing the shit out of.
Right, unless he's like, F it, I've been dying to play this song again, so who knows? I don't know.
Right, yeah. I mean, either way, it's so much fun to speculate about it. And you know what I love the most about this, dude, is like that they've kind of piecemealed out the news. And it's almost like, you know, when you were a kid, like waiting for Christmas, and it, you know, because as an adult, like you're getting through the different holidays and you get to Thanksgiving, and you're like, oh, Christmas is a month away. And then it feels like, it's a week and a half and then Christmas is here. But as a kid, it felt like Christmas took like most of the year to get to. It just took forever to get to Christmas. And that's how it's kind of feeling with this. It's like, you know, every time they release a picture, you're looking in the background like, ooh, is there anything I could see? Like, are they, you know, trying to sneak something in on us? And, you know, and then, you know, wondering when the record's going to come out, like how many songs are on it and all this kind of, it's like, it's fun. You know, it's kind of old school with all this, you know, huge anticipation and stuff like that. It's, man, oh man. It's a blast.
I'm a fan on as much of it being locked down prior to album and tour, I think is better. And even though people are like, I want it here, like, I don't know. This is kind of what, like, Alter Bridge, one of my favorite bands, but they started this thing of like, there's four singles before the album even comes out. You know, I don't want four. You know what I mean?
I completely agree.
Dream Theater doesn't typically do that anyway, but yeah, just give me one in, you know, don't give me anything else until the album comes, I guess. Just one.
Yeah, I agree with that. Because I think, what'd they do, like three or something? Three or four before View from the Top of the World came out? And I was like, well, that's like over half the record.
Did we get to? Oh, yeah, because we got Alien, then we got Invisible Monster.
Yeah, and then, I mean.
Well, wasn't it already out, though, by time Invisible Monster? Or no, I can't remember.
No, I don't think so. I could swear we got three of them. I could swear we got three of them. And I was like, man, that's a lot. And maybe even four. Yeah, it was, yeah, because wasn't it Invisible Monster after Alien, like you said? And then didn't they do Transcending Time, or was that?
No, the album was already out, though, I think, by the time we got Transcending Time.
Okay.
I'm like 99% sure of that, because I remember just first time I heard that was on the album.
Yeah, that's so right. And Kale, yeah, Kale, thank you. He says they pushed more songs after album release. Yeah. Yeah, I just say, go old school, man. Do the one single. Do it like a month and a half or something before the CD comes out. Boy, am I dating myself there, CD. And, you know, do it that way. Let the anticipation balloon just blow and blow and blow until it's huge, and then pop it with the release. And you know, I think that'd be fun. I mean, make the most out of this. You're not ever going to have an opportunity to do something like this again. You know what I mean? So it's, geez, Jay, what is with you? Invisible Monster was a poor choice for a single. I like the song, but it should have been Answering the Call. Dude, all right, look, Jay, Answering the Call is the weakest song on that record. It is forgettable. It is a good song, but it is forgettable.
I got to go with JG3 on this one. I actually like Answering the Call better.
But oh, never mind. Never mind. I'm thinking Awaken the Master. Shut up.
Okay, yeah.
Scratch my last 45 seconds of speaking.
I thought you actually liked that song.
Sorry. Yeah, I would agree with that, Jay. Never mind. I do agree with you on that. Answering the Call would have been a better choice. Invisible Monster, I think, is a song that's just there too, but I think it's good enough to where it's like a mellow single. You know what I mean? So GG3. Yeah, boy, suck it, John. Nice. Sorry, man. That's awesome. Oh my God. So yeah, that was cool, dude. So I guess we'll see how many things we actually got right. It would be hysterical if this tour goes down and we actually like spoiled like 80% of it by accident.
I'm gonna keep this list. I'm not gonna destroy it. So
I hope so, man. That's fantastic. So all right, well, cool, man. That was a very good idea that you had. So I like that a lot. And to all you guys in the chat, thanks for hanging out again. It's always great to see you guys. Chastity Crawley, Ali Studio, JG3, Kale McLeish. Oh, my God. Johan Alexander, all you guys, man. Jeff Pizoka, Adam Rishog. Haven't seen you in a while, man. Hope all is good with you. Ziri, all you fine people, thank you so much for hanging out. Robert Reams, haven't seen you in forever, man. Hope you're doing well. We'll have to meet up for if there's a Cleveland area show, we'll have to meet up for that for sure. But, yeah, so... we're going to be right back here in 2 weeks. Let me think. What is the date going to be? It is going to be Thursday, May 2nd. I will be less than 24 hours away from seeing episode 1, The Phantom Menace, in theaters twice in the same day on Friday, May 3rd. That is going to be a beautiful day for me and my Star Wars nerdiness. So Thursday, May 2nd. At 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we will come up with a topic. I know we've got some cool stuff coming up. I know later this year we still have not done our astonishing deep dive, so we have to really kind of make sure we pick a time to do that so we can really knock that out. Of course, we're going to have our good friend Robert Husted on, but he's a little busy right now. He's getting married in less than 2 months. So I was invited, and unfortunately I cannot go because I have a gig. But I will be getting him a gift. Because he's kind of family-ish since he's my best friend's brother-in-law. And so we're going to do that. And we are definitely going to be doing our Mike Mangini era song draft. For those of you guys who did not hear our original song draft, it's one of our very earliest episodes. And we had Kale McLeish and Adam Rishog on to do the draft with us. And... it's an awesome episode to check out. It's very, very fun. So if you guys want to check out some old TII, go check that one out. But yeah, I'm tempted. Do we get Adam and Kale on to do the second version, or do we let some new blood come in?
Well, you might have to now that you brought their names up.
Right. Thanks for being on the first show, guys. But yeah. Piss off on the second.
Yeah. So. Well, we'll see. It might be good to get some other people on too, but I don't know. Maybe we could get like three more people. That would be a lot.
Yeah.
We'll figure it out.
We can have up to 10. So that's
nice.
That's quite a bit. Jeff Pizoka with a quick question. He says, can we do a Breaking the Fourth Wall review? That one is up to Brian. Brian has, to pull back the curtain, Brian has shot down live release deep dives in the past. So he hasn't seen all of them. And if he has, he barely remembers a lot of them. So he had to borrow a few from me just to
which
jog
is the
his memory.
But we did an episode where we did watch one
live at Luna Park, wasn't it?
Yeah. So we did technically do one, I guess.
Yeah, we talked about that one. I would do Breaking the Fourth Wall. That's interesting. That's a good one. You guys are right. That is a good one. I would do it. It's just up to Brian. So JG3. Jeez, Brian, do you even like Dream Theater?
Hang on, here comes the bus. I gotta lay down. Jeez. Nice. You know, there's a feature here that says private chat before you just throw stuff out here.
Oh, come on. If
Brian says it's all right.
Listen, you ass. If I had to take a beating about my hair for basically a good third of the show 2 weeks ago, you can take a couple little snide comments here and there. Consider it me getting a slight measure of revenge.
Right.
So, but yeah, guys, thanks a lot for checking out another show. Of course, you guys in the chat always drive everything, and it's fucking great talking to you guys. So much appreciation there. Like I say, we're going to be back here on Thursday, May 2nd at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We've got some great stuff coming up throughout the year. Obviously, the fan hangout is coming up in December. Yes, I'm going to tease it 8 months in advance because I absolutely love doing that show. And guys, if you have any comments or show ideas or anything, you can shoot us a message on Facebook, or you can email us at talkingintoinfinity@gmail.com. So again, guys, we will see you in 2 weeks on Friday, May 2nd at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Until then, I am your host, John. He is Brian. And as always, y'all, carpe diem.